Good evening. I'm Tom Rowe. You're tuned in to Turn On the News. 3.9's daily look at radio art, radio news, media news, and more. Today on Turn On the News, we wonder if landlines are forever history. There are internships over at the Third Coast. We're talking more about the Titanic and also about the possible sale of KUSF stations in California. And we'll listen to the music of the planets on Turn On the News. Tom Rowe, you're tuned into 3.9's Turn On the News, a daily look at radio art, radio news, media news, and more. Tonight we will listen to Solar Beat, turning the solar system into a musical instrument, which we can change its tempo. Let that play behind us as we go to our headlines. Over at the Benton Foundation, David Goldman wonders if landlines are doomed, and he rolls out the numbers. Almost 32% of American homes now do not have a landline and are cell phone only. That's double from 2008, and nearly triple from 2007, according to a recent government study. Verizon's landline revenue has fallen 19% since 2007, and AT&T's is down 16.5% over the same period. But they do not, the two companies that control most of the landlines in the country don't plan on shutting them down anytime soon. Landline services still account for 47% of AT&T's revenue and 37% of Verizon's sales. You can go to Benton.org for more information about this story. Paul Rimsmandale over at Radiosurvivor.com looks at the FCC's might be making a proposal for rulemaking about non-commercial radio local marketing agreements like KUSF's. Local marketing agreement is when a station owner permits another broadcaster to rent the station, taking over the programming and advertising for a fee. The station owner retains all the rights and liabilities for the station, including the license. Local marketing agreements have often been used to let large owner like Clear Channel operate another station in a market without violating local ownership limits, since the license remains in the hands of another entity and Clear Channel is limited to owning a certain number of stations in each market to avoid monopoly laws. This is a way around that. David Oxenford over at the Broadcast Law blog seems to think that the FCC may address the issue at its April open meeting. The agenda item is actually called, quote, non-commercial educational station fundraising for third-party nonprofit organizations. So it really gets to this recent KUSF sale in California, where the station is planning to buy a number of other stations in their classical public radio network and add them, but they've held off on their fundraising on the new stations until the FCC approves the sale. You can read more about this at Radiosurvivor.com. The folks at Third Coast International, the annual radio documentary festival in Chicago in October, have their ReSound internships up, It runs from June 1st to September 15th. The ReSound intern assists with aspects of producing the Third Coast Weekly radio show on WBEZ. You can apply at thirdcoastfestival.org. We are going to listen to some Scanner, some Wilco first, I guess, and we'll be back with some Titanic news as we continue to trace the anniversary of the Titanic sinking, April 15th, 2012, and what that meant to radio and radio history.
Understandable. you're up. Honey, I hope you can.
The satellite is plain, twisted in a grain. Sundays on the canyon floor. But I can hear you loud and clear through the static and the beam. And the squelch is music all the way. This Hollywood divine is Broad Street hollow rhymes, crazed up. When the tailgate drops and stops and the place unfolds into a daydream, party come, party come.
measure twice, cut once.
Scanner with Treble Spin from Delivery. Before that, Latitude Longitude with Party Cove from Radio Action 3, a Free 103.9 release. And Wilco started things off with Radio Cures from Yankee Foxtrot. On Turn On the News, we are going to focus in the year to come a little bit about the Republican and Democratic National Conventions in America and the protests surrounding them. Often there is a band of webcasters, broadcasters, pirate radio casters setting up communication systems around the protests, around the various political conventions, and Free 103.9 will cover that. First, we're covering the crackdown by authorities on protests around the conventions. In Tampa, Kelly Benjamin reports for Free Speech Radio News about preparations there by police and the response.
Tampa, Florida is the host city for this summer's Republican National Convention. Thousands of political protesters are expected to descend on the city, which has prompted officials to propose strict ground rules as to where protests can take place and for how long. But civil liberties advocates, protest organizers, and even members of the Tampa City Council are pushing back, raising concerns about the constitutionality of the restrictions. FSRN's Kelly Benjamin has more.
The mayor of Tampa, Bob Buckhorn, introduced his proposed clean zone ordinance 2 weeks ago, calling it necessary to ensure public safety during the Republican convention. The ordinance dictates that gatherings of 50 people or more would require a permit and that protests would be limited to no longer than 60 minutes. It also outlines a number of items that are prohibited from being carried in the clean zone, including rope, tape, straps, glass containers, or any piece of string longer than 6 inches. Although pieces of string won't be allowed, activists can still carry loaded firearms because the city can't change state gun laws. Last Thursday, at a standing room only meeting, the Tampa City Council heard the ordinance for the first time, and the public comments were overwhelmingly opposed. City Councilwoman Mary Mulhern agrees. She says the mayor's office is taking the wrong approach in not welcoming protesters to the city.
I think we need to welcome them because they are going to be here. So as they come here, let's say you're welcome here, you follow the rules, and you're peaceful, and we want to have you here because they're going to be here either way. And if you are already telling people that you're expecting bad behavior, that's what you're going to get. And I think this ordinance, it needs a lot of changes so that we do give the right message, because I don't think that first draft really was saying we're welcoming you.
Besides appearing unwelcoming, many have raised concerns that the clean zone is unconstitutional and will make it virtually impossible for people to exercise their rights during the convention. Heidi Bogosian is the executive director of the National Lawyers Guild.
It goes to show that once again, arbitrary rules are being set that prohibit harmless often household ordinary items that the police then use to say are potential weapons. What we've seen with this kind of banning of ordinary objects is it will create checkpoints or create undue burdens on protesters who are held up while they're being searched trying to get into a protest area. And we think this is yet again another tactic guised under safety and security that really has the impact of chilling free speech.
One of the items prohibited in the clean zone is gas masks, often worn to protect people from the effects of tear gas or pepper spray used by police. The Tampa Police Department has made it clear that they're stockpiling chemicals for use during the convention in order to disperse crowds. Tampa Mayor Bob Buckhorn recently told WMNF that gas masks are a sign of trouble.
There is no need to have a gas mask unless you're intent on causing problems. Perhaps the simple solution is leave the area.
But RNC protest organizers point out that police often attack people with chemicals indiscriminately. Police have also used controversial tactics like kettling, trapping a crowd in a fenced-off area without a route for dispersal. Jared Hamill is a spokesperson for the Coalition to March on the RNC, which plans to hold a march on the opening day of the convention. Hamill said even the name Clean Zone sends the wrong message.
It says that, you know, protesters are dirty. You know, you have the one-hour limit. A ridiculous thing to have, like, a protest can only last for an hour. And then what the city is trying to do with this ordinance is to say, this is where protests can happen, and this is where they cannot. As any citizen, we have the right to protest within sight and sound of wherever we're protesting. There aren't limits, and so people are going to be here in August. We have this right, and we're going to be there. And we demand our permits, and we demand that our voice not be suppressed.
The Coalition to March on the RNC is planning a rally against the Clean Zone Tuesday evening in downtown Tampa's Chaloura Park, calling on the city to change its attitude about dealing with public protests during the convention. The Tampa City Council will be meeting with city attorneys and the ACLU to review the ordinance before it's set for a vote in 2 weeks. Kelly Benjamin, FSRN, Tampa, Florida.
Behind me is the Titanic Morse code call distress signals. Sent out April 15th, 1912. And Turn on the News continues its coverage of the anniversary and what it meant to radio, and points you particularly to the Blackwood Amateur Radio Society, their webpage. This is via a story at radiosurvivor.com. And Jennifer Waits, she points to Blackwood Amateur Radio Society and the story there about Artie Moore, the 24-year-old, and the exhibit at a Wales museum called The Titanic, The Mill, and The Signal, Artie Moore and the Titanic's SOS. And I'll quote from the display. At 24 years of age on 14th of April, 1912, Artie received the faint signal of a ship in distress. The signal read, CQD SOS, 11:50 p.m. from MG... Why, we have struck an iceberg, sinking fast, come to our assistance, position latitude 41-46 north, longitude 50-14 west, MGY. This was the distress call of the unsinkable Titanic. The call continued, sinking, we are putting passengers off in small boats, weather clear. Artie reported this to the locals who did not believe the incredible news that the unsinkable Titanic has perished. 2 days later, they received confirmation, and the national press already received considerable notoriety as a result. Go to radiosurvivor.com for that full story. You've been tuned in to Turn on the News, Free 103.9's daily look at radio art, radio news, media news, and more. Tune into free103.9.org or newsroom.free103.9.org for links to international sources of radio news, radio art, and more.